and a half songs.
You think you can name 15 Kid Rock songs right
yes,
now?
Yes, I can name 15 Kid Rock songs.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Only God Knows Why, Ball With The Ball, Bull God, Black Chick, White Guy, Rock and Roll Jesus, All Summer Long, Cocky, Cowboy, American Badass, Half Your Age, the song you wrote for Pamela Anderson after they broke up.
I remember that one.
Picture, Early Morning Stone Pimp, Devil Without a Call, Somebody's Gotta Feel This. Midnight Train to Memphis.
There you go.
Blue Jeans and Rosary. I love both of those songs. We did it! We got the 16! We did it! 1-0! Let's go!
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Blue Jeans and a Rosary.
I was playing that song. I was playing that song this weekend.
That's a great song.
On my playlist, my cleaning playlist.
On your cleaning playlist?
I mean, it's not called the cleaning playlist, but I got a playlist I play whenever I'm, you know, me and the lady are cleaning around the house and doing stuff. It's just...
Your cleaning playlist.
That's not a cleaning playlist,
He had Lemon Pledge and a Dust Mop.
On 1340 WKGN.
Your housework playlist.
It's not just for housework. I mean, I got other stuff that just to vibe out to.
For like mopping and sweeping.
Headline number one. This song reminds me of the Undertaker back on Raw last night. As hour two kicks off in the Fan Run Studios, I guess he's going to tag team with Roman Reigns for some reason. I don't know, but the Undertaker showed up last night out of nowhere. Headlines: hour two, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. Headline number two: local radio station refuses to fix the wall behind us, as we have foam that is attached via magnet and can fall down at any moment without anyone touching it.
You just incriminated all of us. I was going to blame that on the drive.
Oh.
Now Nate's going to have proof that it was...
We didn't do anything.
I know, we didn't do anything. But I'm not picking that up. I've tried, and it just makes my blood pressure go through the roof, I'm not doing it.
It's ridiculous. Whose idea was it to put...
Well, I mean, I think you need some soundproofing stuff here to kind of make the room acoustic sound better.
No, I get the idea, but we're using magnets with
duct
tape.
And now damn TV won't work. It won't let me pick a channel. This hour two's gone to hell in a handbasket, and I blame you for bringing religion into the last segment.
We want you to talk sports. Grant Williams is going to wear number 40 right now, for now. He issued a statement yesterday. Grant Williams, a former Tennessee basketball player, now with the Celtics, in case you didn't know. He said, "Hello to everyone who has asked or is thinking about purchasing my jersey. Hello. It is not certain I will be wearing number 40.
Are you thinking about it, or are you going to buy his jersey? He said hello back.
Well, he said hello to everyone.
And I thought you just said hello back.
I did.
I think it's only to the people who want to buy his jersey. Not everyone.
That's a good point. Because he says hello to everyone who has asked or is thinking about purchasing my jersey. Yeah, I shouldn't have said hello.
Are you thinking about it?
They won't have my size, for one. And for second, I've told you I'm kind of an Admiral guy. I would buy a Wizards jersey.
I know. You've made it clear for a while that you do not like Grant Williams. That was
is not true. I'd just be more likely to buy a Wizards jersey, is all I'm saying. Actually, I'd be most likely to buy a Bone jersey. Got some more foam off the wall. Maybe we can get some more duct tape and...
magnets.
Get it up there somehow or another. Anyway.
Just duct tape all of it up there. Forget the magnets.
I mean, there had to be a better way of... I don't know. I'm going to stay out of it. I did not bother helping put it up, so, you know, it's not my business. I wouldn't know how to get it up there. Maybe some nails?
Nails?
No, is the wall metal?
I mean, it's the wall...
What kind of wall is that?
It's not... You can't put nails in it.
Well, there had to be a better way than... I don't know.
Doing a lot of judging without offering any solutions.
No, I mean, that's a good point. I don't have any solutions, but maybe just not have the
Just fault. Give me the next damn headline, please.
Well, anyway, he says it's not certain he's going to be wearing number 40 this season. Good. However, he will be wearing the number 40 for summer league play. Thank you so much. Go Celtics. Heart, Clover, Heart, Clover. That's what Grant Williams said. So don't buy the number 40 jersey just yet.
I'm more of an Admiral guy now, too.
Because he's with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Told you all along. Kansas City radio host Kevin Keatsman is making headlines today.
Let's talk about Kevin later. Kevin's in hot water. Kevin is getting ratioed on the internet. We'll talk about Kevin later. Sorry to cut in on headlines.
All right.
John is cutting in.
The NBA banned the term owner yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I remember trying to tell you about this story.
In fairness, you had it in Pump the Brakes, Keep Rolling. I mean, there's a 50-50 chance that, you know. Anyway, they've banned the term, and they're as in team owner, NBA owner. They believe that it is racially insensitive. They replaced it with governor, according to Adam Silver. So now we have team governors.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I mean, we've already kind of given our thoughts on this when it comes to the NBA changing the name from owner. We've already covered that. The fact that they ended up with governor. That seems like a weird stakeholder would have sounded smarter to me. But
it's better than some of those other synonyms we
investor, investor, lead investor. I don't know. Whatever.
NBA Rookie of the Year.
That's about concert tickets to a guy I've never heard of.
Doing that? You bought concert tickets from a guy you never heard of?
Yeah, he looks cool. He's playing at the Bijou, and I've heard people say he's good, but I've never actually heard of him or listened to him.
What's his name?
Well, I feel like you're going to think he's lame if I tell you his name, because I'm not really sold on the name.
It could be cool. One of those really, like, country names?
No, he's not country. He's more like bluegrass, Americana. That's my type of music these days.
Okay, I'm going to guess his name's like...
It's a normal name.
Jason.
No, okay, well, no, it's not Jason, but it's a normal name. With like a kid's take on a normal name, I guess I would say.
Johnny.
Something like that, but it's not Johnny, but yeah, something like that. Johnny.
So it starts with a J?
Well, no, I'm just saying like that, a kid's take on a name like that.
It's going to be like Josh Smith. Josh Davis.
No.
That sounds like one of those.
Then you just wanted to bulldoze me and not let me get out my thing.
What is
Billy? Like I said, it's a kid's take on a name, so... Billy.
Billy.
And then I guess, I don't know if this is his real name. No, Strings. I don't know. Billy Strings. Yeah.
Well, there's an avalanche. Avalanche of foam. We knew it was coming. The pressure gave way.
You start talking about the Lord and look
hey,
what happened.
Hey, how about some more? Give us some more, Lord. We want all the foam
this
to
might,
fall.
This might be, it might not be the Lord. It might be the demons you called in last week.
You thought you could keep it up there with magnets and tape, but you can't.
Go ahead. Wipe it all out. I was tired of looking at that foam anyway. NBA Rookie of the Year.
Somebody flickered the lights, but it wasn't me.
NBA Rookie of the Year was Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks. He received 98 first-place votes for Rookie of the Year. The Hawks, Trae Young, received 2.
He got second.
Out of the 100 possible votes, Atlanta's Trae Young received 2. Dallas's Luka Doncic received 98. So Luka, the Rookie of the Year. Thoughts?
The crooked. I mean, it's not even the crooked. It's the liberal NBA media wanting to do what they did. No, I'm serious. I got a point with this. The liberal NBA media, they have their preconceived notions, and then they just find what backs that up. Look, if you'd have asked anybody before the year who was going to win MVP, check the odds. Who was the favorite? Little Wonder Boy. Euro Luka Doncic, same as who they were. Who were they calling the MVP before the season started? Giannis. They wrote that narrative to fruition. They wrote it into existence. James Harden scored 36 points a damn game. Caught myself. Scored 36 points a game. 36 points a game.
It took me a second to figure out what you were going to say.
36 points a game, and he doesn't win MVP because they had
36 points.
They had their narrative already in place that Giannis was going to be MVP. Here's my thing, all right? You can't give MVP and Coach of the Year and Executive of the Year to all of the Milwaukee Bucks, right? You can't give their executive of the year and give Mike Budenholzer Coach of the Year while also giving Giannis MVP? Who the hell gets the credit? Who put this together? Who is the reason they won 60 games and then flamed out in the playoffs? Was it Giannis? Okay, he's MVP. Then Budenholzer didn't really do anything. But if we're calling him Coach of the Year, that means Giannis can't also be MVP, which, by the way, how do you think you saw Ujiri, Masai Ujiri? How do you think he feels today as he finished, what, third or fourth for Executive of the Year? He's like, hey, guys, I don't know if you noticed this, but I fired the Coach of the Year, replaced him with Nick Nurse. I traded for Kawhi Leonard. I traded for Mark Gasol. I convinced the Spurs just to throw in Danny Green for free. And I don't know if you noticed, but hello, we won a championship. That feels like I should be Executive of the Year. Guys, Kawhi Leonard. Instead, we give the Bucks guy Executive of the Year because he's traded for Budenholzer or signed Budenholzer and traded for Nikola Mirotic. Really? Give me a break. Here's what they wanted. Here's where the rubber meets the road. All right, boys and girls. Here's where the rubber meets the road.
There are no women here.
Here's where the rubber meets the road. The liberal NBA media, they want to praise and talk about one thing this season. And you're going to see it really take shape. What's Adam Silver's biggest goal been so far as a commissioner?
To transcend humanity and become an alien?
Close. To globally expand the game. Maybe even outside the globe, right? Maybe into the whole solar system? There's five major awards in the NBA. Four of them were won by foreign players. All right? They're trying to praise and talk about this global expansion. So that's why Luka Doncic won Rookie of the Year. That way they can talk about, oh, look at the Slovenian. We've expanded the game. Now you'll pay more attention to the EuroLeague. Now you'll have a better, you'll have less of a stigma for our international prospects. Rudy Gobert, defensive. You can't be Defensive Player of the Year if you get ran off the court in the playoffs. Like, Rudy Gobert can't be the best defensive player in the league, guys. He couldn't finish the games in the playoffs. They got him off the court because he can't guard a pick and roll. Give me a break. It's all about the global expansion. That's my thoughts. Those are my thoughts on Luka Doncic's Rookie of the Year, which, by the way, Trae Young and Cam Reddish, I'll take both of them over Luka any day of the week. Any day of the week. Yeah!
Anthony Bourdain,
R.I.P.,
would have been 1 year older than he was when he died today if he hadn't died. Today was his birthday, June 25th. Friends and fans around the globe are recognizing Anthony Bourdain today. 63, that's how old he would have been today. I got a little confused because I thought maybe it had been a year since he died, but apparently it just would have been his birthday.
At what point do we stop doing that?
I think after the first year.
No. You still talk about like George Washington would have been so-and-so years
George
old
Washington
today.
Would have been 400 today had he not died 300 years ago. Joe Theismann says Dwayne Haskins should not start right away. It's a formula for disaster. Joe Theismann is worried about seeing Dwayne Haskins getting injured. And if anybody knows about getting injured, it's Joe Theismann. He says, do not start him right away. Washington has a tough season opening schedule. Theismann believes Haskins should sit and learn for a bit.
Nah, I think he should just play Haskins.
Throw him in there?
Yeah, no. That's what you do with rookie quarterbacks. They'll be fine. League's easy now. I'm being serious. Put him in there. He'll be fine. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck.
What are you going to do, start Case Keenum?
I don't know.
No, bro, you're going to play Dwayne Haskins.
Theismann doesn't think they should.
Okay, old man, shut up. They didn't play rookies back in his day. It's a new game. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. You want to do the Andy Reid conversation now?
Yes, let's talk about the Kansas City radio host.
Hit me with it.
All right. Radio host Kevin Keatsman says that Andy Reid is not a good father and compared Andy Reid's son's issues, two sons, both with issues. Well, one is dead, which makes this worse.
Died from a heroin overdose.
Yes, and Kevin Keatsman, the radio host, compared his son's issues to the Tyreek Hill case, saying Andy Reid is, quote, not good at fixing people.
Yeah, I got the audio ready. Let's just listen to the audio. Okay. Because, I mean, yeah, you're doing a good job of explaining it, but let's just hear it in his words. And he has since tried to walk it back on Twitter, and he was met with the wrath of Twitter ratio. Few get to see as poorly or as drastically as he got hit with it. So, Ben, yes, go fire it up. What's this guy's name again, Cody?
Kevin Keatsman.
Kevin Keatsman. This is what he said on his radio show in Kansas City yesterday.
Andy Reid does not have a great record of fixing players. He doesn't. Discipline is not his thing. It did not work out particularly well in his family life. And that needs to be added to this. As we're talking about the Chiefs, he wasn't real great at that either. He's had a lot of things go bad on him. Family and players. He is not good at fixing people. He is not good at discipline. That is not his strength. His strength is designing football plays.
Well, here, play it one more time. Play it one more time.
Andy Reid does not have a great record of fixing players. He doesn't. Discipline is not his thing. It did not work out particularly well in his family life, and that needs to be added to this. As we're talking about the Chiefs, he wasn't real great at that either. He's had a lot of things go bad on him. Family and players. He is not good at fixing people. He is not good at discipline. That is not his strength. His strength is designing football plays.
He's talking about Tyreek Hill, right? Tyreek Hill, Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to kind of try to handle his discipline. And the take here is that Andy Reid is not very good at discipline. And he points to his family life. Like you said, Cody, he's had one son die of a heroin overdose and had another that still battles addiction. And he brings family and a lack of discipline there as a point for Andy Reid maybe not being best equipped to handle Tyreek Hill. This is one of the worst ratios I've seen on Twitter, by the way. He put a tweet out. He has 11 retweets, 51 likes, and 1,355 replies.
That's the definition of being ratioed.
Of people just like, well, you can imagine what they're saying to him. As he has since tried to make a statement on Twitter. He tried to play surprised. Holy hat, which I've never heard holy hat as an expression
before. It must be a Midwestern thing.
Holy hat, what's going on here? I never mentioned one word about the tragic death of Andy Reid's son and quickly corrected a caller who did. I was talking about the owner's record of fixing games, the team's record, and Andy's record. I was referencing the drug addiction and convictions for drug dealings when they served time and Reid hired them to work for his football teams. It was no longer a private matter. But blaming a parent for the death of their child in these circumstances is unthinkable and reprehensible, period. It was never mentioned or discussed and never entered my mind. It makes me sad that somehow that's what some of you thought I was saying. That would be despicable.
I don't think that's a Midwestern accent. I think that's more of a New York accent.
No, it wasn't New York.
It's maybe Boston, but it's
maybe
not
Philly.
The Midwest.
It could have been a Philly one, I guess. I don't know.
We're over here. We're in Kansas.
No, that's not Kansas.
That's kind of Kansas.
That's the Dakotas. You're looking at like
Dakota, Minnesota.
You're up in Fargo now.
Up in Canada, Jesus, Ricky.
So he came out and tried to sort of kind of walk it back, or really just say you heard me wrong.
I think the comparison he was making was pretty clear, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like he says, look, I wasn't talking about him actually dying of drug overdose. I was just talking about him being addicted to drugs and then getting convicted for selling drugs.
Well, look, I mean, this guy, I'm not going to defend this guy. I do know that a lot of times that stuff can be tied to parenting and not having a father figure and things like that. But I don't know that that's the case here, and I don't think you can go on the radio show and assume that. I mean, that just seems like way too bold of a comparison to try to.
Well, I mean, even if it's like, let's just say it is true, and look, I disagree. I think addiction can anybody can. I think you can have the best parents in the world and get caught up in addiction.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying you can't. But I do know that it can stem from not having good parenting.
I don't think,
or not having a father present.
I don't necessarily agree. Like I said, I just kind of think that it's addiction and opioids and heroin, all that stuff's connected. And
there's research on it.
No, I mean, I know. I think that even if you could say Andy Reid didn't stop or whatever he was trying to get across, like it's even if it's 100% accurate, which again I don't think it is. I think it's very. Low brow. I think it crosses the line when critiquing someone as a football coach.
To tie it to their personal life?
Well,
I mean, I agree with that. I just.
Like,
I,
look, you know. If you are, look, here's my thing. And I don't even know if it's worth discussing here, but like my thing here is like if you are this radio host, Kevin Keatsman, whatever the hell his name is, if you are trying to make that link, which he is, right? He's made the link between parenting, between Andy Reid's coaching and parenting and all that stuff. Is it not a little ironic that if you think Andy Reid wasn't a good father, like do you think that some of that came from his desire to be a good football coach? You're questioning like his coaching and his commitment to the team. Which we all know the stereotype about coaches, right?
Is they're not present at home.
Is that they work 20 hours a day mm-hmm. in the office. And if you're walking it back and saying, look, I'm talking about him hiring his sons. If you're Andy Reid probably thought having his sons closer to him at his job where he could keep an eye on them or try to get them on the right path was the right move, right? So, like, even if you're trying to make that link, to me, you're missing the mark there. And again, you're talking about a guy who has had a public death of his child, and it was public. Like, this was a story. It happened while they were at minicamp, and you have another one still battling addiction, and you are bringing that to the airwaves to try to talk about a man professionally.
Yeah, you can't take that to the airwaves.
Like, at the very least, you've lost the humanity aspect of it.
You can't take it to the air the way that he did it. I mean, you just can't make a comparison between something as serious as that. You know what I mean?
Well, the mob had their pitchforks out, and, you know, sometimes the mob is justified. But then came the revelation that he is the vice president at the station and part owner of the station, so it's not like they're going to cancel him. Now, maybe there could be a wider spread movement with advertisers or whatever, but
is there a possibility that he was not talking particularly about the death of Andy Reid's son?
No, and even worse, he was talking about his addiction and selling drugs, and it had the worst. Like the death makes it worse, but it's still wrong to go out and talk about someone's family matter, in my opinion.
He's had a lot of things go bad on him, family and players. He's not good at fixing people, not good at discipline.
Like, if Andy Reid had been beating the hell out of his wife, I think you can bring that up when dealing with the Tyreek Hill situation or judging Andy Reid.
Yeah, like if a guy is physically aggressive on the field, you could say maybe, well, hey, he hit his wife, so obviously he's got some aggression
problems.
But
this is about someone's son who dealing with something that, I mean, at this point, man, like the opioid, the heroin, all those issues, I would say affects every family. in one way or the other, just like on average. Every family in America, if you take out, like, you know, your cousins and uncles and everybody like that, your aunts, every family has been touched by that at this point, it feels like. But then there's a flip side of people calling for his head, and I'm curious where your thoughts are on that. Like, what should the punishment be for this? Should there be a punishment? Because we talk in front of a live microphone for 3 hours a day. We've said some questionable stuff.
When? Exactly.
Is it worth this guy having to lose his job? Now, again, I just told you he's the part owner of the station, so nothing's probably going to happen, but do you have maybe a little sympathy for him knowing what it is that we do?
No, yeah, I don't think he should lose his job over it. I mean, like I said, I just think it's a really bold, and I mean bold in kind of a dumb way, to go make that comparison. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know Andy Reid? I wonder that. I wonder if he has any kind of a relationship with Andy Reid.
I don't know. He's been in Kansas City for a while. I would say at least somebody from the station knows Andy Reid. Like, I mean, they're a credentialed, you know, station there. I would imagine there's some type of relationship. But as far as a personal one goes, I would guess no, but I don't know.
I can't really think of any way to defend him, but there probably are questions that could be asked. You know, that maybe he didn't mean it exactly the way it sounds. I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like a good look. But he's trying to walk it back. I mean, you don't believe there could be any truth to him trying to walk it back? Like,
well, I mean, again, I'm saying, like, I don't think that him walking it back is...
He said he was talking about his sons working for him, right?
Right, after getting arrested for drugs and having a drug addiction. Like, again, like, I don't – like, you're stopping one step short of talking about them overdosing on heroin. Okay, but you're still talking about them being addicted to it. That's still out of bounds a little, you know, to me. Again, especially, like, if you're blaming that on Andy Reid, like – again, Andy Reid, I'm going to guess, is thinking that him giving his sons a job – was a way to keep an eye on them and to try to get them on the right path, and that's all Andy Reid knows. I'm going to guess Andy Reid doesn't have many hobbies outside of football. I'm going to guess that's pretty much all Andy Reid does.
I don't know. I mean, I think that your father has an impact on you and how you turn out, and I don't know what the situation is between Andy Reid and his sons. I don't know if that guy knows either, and even if he does, it's hard to come out and say that on the air, you know. But I don't think he should lose his job, because I think you can say whatever you want to say, whether the mob comes after you or not.
I don't think you can say whatever you want to say.
I think you can.
I mean, you can, but I think at a certain point you lose your job.
I mean, in terms of, you know, things protected by free speech, you can say pretty much whatever you want to say if you don't commit any FCC violations.
I think at a certain point there is a tipping point, especially if there's intention behind it.
Well, I mean, things that are just blatantly racist. Or...
No, I mean, I think if Andy, I think if he was making light of the heroin overdose, he would probably, if he was intentionally doing that, I would think that would be a... tough to come back from if he didn't own the station. Now that's a different part of the equation, is where he owns the station. So it's not like he really has to have it. He doesn't really have to answer to anyone except like his co-owner, and then, like I said, all of his advertisers.
Do you really think that he set out to just intentionally make light of his son's heroin overdose, though? I mean, surely the guy didn't just...
I mean, what's he talking about when he's talking about his family life?
I don't know. He says he's talking about when they were working with him and stuff.
Right, after they got hired after their drug addiction. That's what he
said. Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have brought the family part into it, but he did have sons that worked for him, so.
Right.
He shouldn't have separated the family from, because he should have known that people would take that as him talking about the heroin overdose.
Mm-hmm.
I could see where he made a bad mistake.
I mean, I don't think he thought it was going to blow up. I think if you'd have told him that it was going to get this reaction, he wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's malicious about it. You think he went into it from a malicious perspective?
I mean, you think that was just an idea that popped into his head, though?
Yeah, you know how it is when you're talking and you...
No, I mean, it's a dangerous thing with talking in front of a live microphone as much as we talk about it. I understand that, but like...
It's unscripted.
I'm asking, like, do you think that's just something that randomly popped in his head, or do you think that's a thought he's, you know, had about Andy Reid and how Andy Reid manages his roster?
I don't know, but even if he does have the thought, I don't think he should be fired over it.
I don't think he's going to get fired. But, I mean, I do think there is a responsibility you have in front of a microphone.
I mean, if we had a coach who had a son who had a drug overdose and a death, I don't think either of us would have said that.
I agree.
Said what he said.
And if you wouldn't have said it, that means you know it's bad.
Right. Which is maybe part of the reason that I don't side with this guy, but I just, from the perspective of what he does, I, you know, sometimes things pop into your mind and maybe you shouldn't say them, but you do say them.
I don't necessarily agree with a one-strike policy either. Like, it would have to be really, really egregious for me to call for somebody to get fired after one time. Like, I don't know anything about this guy, what his track record is, if he constantly does stuff like this. So with just a, you know, starting from zero with this guy, I think the public shaming is enough of a punishment. I think that, although like him doubling down and, you know, still not even trying to really apologize isn't a good sign. I'm usually not in favor of someone getting fired for a one strike mistake.
I'm usually not in favor of a public mob having any kind of say over whether or not you should be fired either.
I think everyone's entitled to be outraged if they want to be outraged.
They can be outraged, but they don't get to decide whether or not you have a job.
Well, they don't get to. It's just whether or not your boss is buckled to that. And then at that point, I think you have to look at every situation individually. Like, I don't think there should be a blanket rule of if the mob comes, you get fired versus if the mob comes, we're not firing you no matter what. I think sometimes the mob's right. And like I said, in this situation, it's extra touchy because I do think at this point, one out of one families is somewhat affected in some way by the drug epidemic. I do think that makes it an even more sensitive situation, in my opinion, at least.
I don't know. I almost think it would have been better if, and this will sound bad, but if the guy was trying to make a joke, he would have been better off career-wise than he will just saying it as an honest feeling. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I mean, it sounds bad to put it that way.
I don't think...
I'm just saying that if he had the actual thought, I think that's worse.
I mean, I think the joke would have been received very poorly too.
Absolutely. I'm saying it might be better on this guy though.
Maybe. The joke would have been received very, very poorly.
Sometimes jokes are received poorly.
But this is being received poorly as well.
I don't know. I think about the guys who have made it big and gotten, like, if you just singled out some of the stuff guys like Imus and Howard Stern said over the years, they never would have gotten to where they got, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they also got big in, what, the 70s and 80s?
Yeah, it was a different time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has things to do with it, too.
It's like, a different time, but, I mean, in our profession,
I mean,
those
the tobacco industry wouldn't have gotten big today if, you know, we knew the side effects and dangers of it. So I don't know if that...
There's always going to be people, though, that are outspoken. There's always going to be an opportunity, I think, for, like, radio guys to have that shock factor. You know what I mean?
But
I don't think that's what this guy was going for.
Is there anyone in comedy right now who's been able to do that? Because I feel like we kind of have neutered our stand-up comedians to a point.
I think that's a real problem.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I'm asking. You said there's always be a place for it. Like, who's taking that place right now in stand-up comedy? Like, I don't.
Nobody has really solidified. I mean, there's not like some phenom out there at this point, you know. But to me, that's a different conversation because that gets to talking about joking. This guy wasn't joking around. I think this guy just genuinely feels this way about Andy Reid.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what the blowback is from the Kansas City Chiefs, because if they get ostracized in their own city, you know, that could be detrimental, right? Like, I know you can say whatever you want, but ultimately who will decide will be the advertisers and the listeners in Kansas City. And I don't know how they feel about Andy Reid. I don't know what the sentiment there is in Kansas City and whether or not people are going to rally to him as a sympathetic figure here, or if that's something that people talk about inside the Kansas City Chiefs fan base.
Well, I would say that if advertisers start pulling out, then they'll have a real problem. That's when he may have to go off the air.
We'll see what happens. So far, he is, I don't want to say doubled down, but he is trying to explain himself. And usually when you get to the point where you're trying to explain yourself, that means things aren't going well for you. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. What is your interest level right now on a scale of 1 to 10 about Kerry Blackshear?
I'm still in on him? I'm getting tired of him.
Are you coming around to my take from last week? You want to be second to the take that you're tired of Kerry Blackshear Jr.? I mean, this diva.
I'm just getting tired of hearing about him.
This diva. Make up your mind, bro. You're not Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of hearing about him.
You're not Kawhi Leonard, bro. You're really going to drag this out even longer? It's Tuesday. What are you waiting for?
I think we all sound a little bit obsessive in how we keep talking about him.
What else do you want to talk about?
Do what?
What else do you want to talk about?
That sounded different than the first thing you said.
No, that's what I said.
No, I mean, I understand that it is in the interest of Tennessee basketball on whether or not he comes here. I'm getting tired of the guy. I will say that. I wish he'd, make a decision. But really, I mean, isn't it all of us that's making the big thing about it? Well, isn't it the media that's hyping all this?
No, I think
maybe he's just not ready.
I think the fans are hyping it as well.
Well, yeah, media, fans, everybody. I'm just saying maybe he's not ready to make his decision. So maybe I should walk that back and say it's really not on him. He can make a decision whenever he wants. Maybe we need to all chill out.
So you're blaming us?
Yes. I'm blaming you and me, everyone who listens, everyone who is engaged in the Kerry Blackshear news. We're all blowing it out of proportion. Somebody said he retweeted a video about Virginia Tech.
I don't know if it's something to really be worried about, but I mean, we're at that point in this watch where, yeah, we're looking to see what the guy's doing on social media. But it was just a, like, hey, these are great memories type of thing. And he's like, yeah, great memories at Virginia Tech last year.
Which clearly means he's going back to experience more memories.
I don't think that necessarily means, or I don't think that's necessarily what that means. It could just be like, hey, yeah, I have great memories with my boys.
Your train is rolling, John. The latest on, if you search Kerry Blackshear, one of the latest tweets, I'm officially over Kerry Blackshear. Pick a school and go there.
Okay. Give me some more of those. So we got at least one more person on it. Okay. Here we go. Anybody else tired of Kerry Blackshear?
Kentucky fans are out on him. Yeah, I'll tell you that much.
Kentucky fans are just like, okay, like, come on. Either say it or don't. Just come on.
Kentucky fans have moved on.
All right.
Watch him end up going to Kentucky, and all these loser Kentucky fans are just, yeah, we don't need him. We don't even want him.
Well, the latest update is that it's down between Tennessee and Florida.
Who's that from, though? Because I've heard 95 updates on this guy. You know what I mean? Does anybody have any information? Sorry if I sound angry.
Well, the last information coming from a national guy who covers this says that he believes that the official word is that it's down between Tennessee and Florida.
He believes. All these reporters, I believe, we believe, sources say, sources tell me, source says, who's your source? I mean, his assistant basketball coach at
are you going
Frog Balls High School or what?
At what high school?
Frog Balls High School.
Are you going full
anti-journalism
sources now?
Yes, I'm anti-sources. Can't believe I was ever in that field. I never had sources. Nobody's got any damn sources.
I tweeted at him, so maybe we'll get some information.
That's probably going to work about as well as some of these dudes with sources.
I just said, will you please commit to a damn school already?
There we go. All right. I mean, I feel like I was first to the take, and now it's stronger than ever.
You rode the fence.
No.
We all remember the audio. You said,
yes.
You said, we'll cut this out if he doesn't come.
But, right.
But if he does, we love him.
Right.
But
which
if he
means,
doesn't,
yeah.
Overrated. Hate him.
No. Never said he was overrated or that I hated him.
To your
I said,
credit.
Make up your mind. That was the first take, and I just wanted to leave myself. I don't want him to feel like when he gets here that the award-winning radio host in town is out on him already. I don't want to make him feel like he's fighting against an uphill battle to win people over.
I'm out.
I'm still right here. Just if he comes, we'll start back at zero, Carrie. But until then, I'm out.
To your credit, you were the first to be out on him and also the first to say you were still in on him.
Only if he came to Tennessee. I would respect his talents. I'm over the divaness.
The divaness.
Is that not a word?
I was thinking maybe there's another. The divanity.
That's.
Divanity?
I don't know.
Divanity sounds.
No, it doesn't sound.
Divinity
right.
Is like godliness.
Yeah, that's with an I.
Yeah. I don't think
I'm
divanity
saying divanity
is a word.
Yeah.
Which could have a double meaning because a diva is concerned with vanity, right? Hey,
oh, hey,
hey, hey, look at the brain here.
I don't think divinous is a word.
I don't think divanity is a word.
I think we just made a word called divanity.
You like divanity more than divinous?
I do. You got the double, it's a double play, right? You got the vanity, diva, kind of the same field, right? I think that's a smart thing for me to point out, right? Not going to give me any credit? Okay, that's fine.
I think so, Cody.
Thanks, Ben.
I think divanity works better than divinous.
What about devated?
What does devated mean?
I don't know.
Okay, let's just end the segment.
Okay.
JT tweets in saying Blackshear's going to end up at Vatek and this whole thing will have been a joke. I know that's not the worst scenario for Tennessee because, you know, not in the SEC, but I think that's the one that's going to make me the most angry. Like, if given the option between Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Arkansas, or Virginia Tech, like, it's most beneficial for Tennessee for him to pick Tennessee, obviously. But second place would just be like, hey, just stay at Vatek, bro. But that doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to say that would make me the most angry. I'm going to lose my mind if he's just like, after all this, like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to just stay at Virginia Tech and play for Wofford's coach. Seems to be the best bet for my career. That's going to upset me. That's going to make me mad. Is that a dumb take? Should I be more angry if he goes somewhere else? Because Vatek's going to push me over the edge after this guy has, you know, went on a 2-week trip across the SEC.
Should be a statement that maybe he's a loser.
I don't think he's a loser. I would then put on my conspiracy antennas and say this was just a ploy to raise Vitek's awareness to try to sell your new coach. He'll do his little press conference. He'll have his quotes being like, hey, I looked around at all the other top schools in the area, and I came back and said, you know what? Vitek's got everything. I don't need to go anywhere else.
And I tell you what. You know, our recruiting class may have only been ranked 88th in the country this year, but we signed Kerry Blackshear back at Virginia Tech, and that's the best recruit we could have signed this year. Who is their new coach? I don't care.
Wofford's coach.
Who's he?
The guy who coached Wofford.
I'm ready for football season.
So you don't care about Blackshear anymore? That's why I started this by asking what your level of interest still is in this, because you got a little fired up last week, but now you're looking and saying, eh.
I got a little fired up 2 weeks ago. It's gone from like a 9 to a 7.6 to now I'm at like a 6.9.
We did talk for a whole hour about football, so like I understand you being a little bit more into football right now.
I mean, I've been a little more into football for my whole life.
Mike Young is the guy's name.
Wofford's coach sounds better.
He'll fail.
He went 299 and 244 at Wofford.
Yeah, at Wofford.
Oh, my God. He got hired because of one good year?
Yeah.
He said,
what a loser.
What was his record?
299 and 244.
Oh, they said 299 and 44.
No.
They had one good year.
Yeah, they went 30-5 this year.
He's going to fail so hard. I'm going to laugh.
Not if Blackshear stays. He might be good this year.
He's not going to keep Blackshear. Blackshear's going to come to some school in the SEC.
In 17 seasons, he made the NCAA tournament 5 times, but they were all in the last last half of this decade, I guess. All
right, so he's hot.
He's I guess, learning, getting better.
He's hot right now.
Yeah, sounds like he's gotten better as a coach, I guess. I guess you can get better if you give a guy time, you know. He learns from his mistakes, and, you know, maybe if you don't fire a coach after 3 years like everyone does, then maybe he gets better. It works for some people. Worked out for Frank Beamer. Virginia Tech's the kind of school that'll stick with you. That's probably another reason why this guy's going to Virginia Tech. It worked for Frank Beamer. Spot the lie. Just telling you. He's probably like, you know, I could fail for 8 years at Virginia Tech. They'll keep me around as long as I get better.
If Kerry Blackshear goes back to play for Wofford's coach, I'm going to be very angry. I'm going to feel very frustrated, like we wasted a lot of our time. And sure, I appreciate the content because Kerry Blackshear has given us something to talk about.
But it'll all be wasted breath.
And then all of a sudden, we're going to look around and be like, ugh.
Imagine
Josiah
that.
Jordan.
James.
I was excited about him, but now I don't know. And are we really going to watch a whole season of Folky and DJ Burns down low? We could have had a big man from Va Tech, and I don't know.
Think about it this way. Think about the day you die, and you'll have to realize that in your life you spent at least a good hour of your life talking about Kerry Blackshear. And when they tell you that on your deathbed, you're going to say, and he didn't even come to Tennessee? What could I have done in that hour? You could have done anything else in that hour.
Could have done anything else.
Imagine that. You could have gone skydiving.
Or Rocky Mountain climbing.
Yeah. Or gone to a Tim McGraw show. And seen him play Live Like You Were Dying live. Like 18 times.
Yeah, it's about a 3-minute song, yeah. 3.5.
How mad are you going to be? Are you going to be like, are you going to rip more foam off the wall?
No, that was you, if you're listening, Nate, if you hear this.
That's not what happened, Nate. I think you opened the door really hard. I think's what happened.
I wasn't even sitting in here when it happened.
I don't remember.
Like, I was outside of the room when it fell. So somebody in this room knocked it off the first couple pieces, and Ben's behind the desk, and Cam was over there feverishly preparing his turning left segment.
That's not my story. Your word versus mine, and they'll probably believe you.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.